CNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host. We are sponsored by North State Consultants, Inc., the best tax prep and consultants in the business. Their telephone number is 530-221-0101, and consultations are by appointments only. You're listening to 1460 KCNR Free Fire Radio. Today is March 31st, 2012. I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda Kent.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
Good morning. And we have Bob, our trusted soundboard operator and all-around good guy.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Mark.
Perfect, perfect. Well, today's guest is going to be Mike Zullo. He is the lead investigator for Sheriff Arpaio on ForgeryGate, and we'll be bringing him on here pretty soon. He should be calling in. Did you tell him what time to call?
Yeah, he's supposed to be calling in about 8:15.
Okay.
So that gives us time to do some of our announcements.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah, I talked to him last night, and he called just before I left the office.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, just saying that he wanted to make sure he had the right number. So,
that's a good thing.
Your country, your children, and your grandchildren need you to get involved now. What's it going to take to pry your butts up off the couch? How bad does it have to get before you start doing something? This program wants to give you as many solutions as possible. You need to start by educating yourself on the issues, talk to your neighbors, and go to a Tea Party meeting. Check out the website. See what you can do to protect yourself and your family from big, out-of-control government. Our telephone number here in the studio is 530-605-4567, or go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com. I can be reached at kentmark99@yahoo.com if you ever want to send me a line. I read it about once a week.
So don't expect a fast response.
Yeah, don't expect an immediate response, yeah. Do we have any current veterans vets?
Yeah, we do. We actually have Welcome Home Vietnam Vets going on today out at the cemetery. And after the cemetery ceremony, they're going to move some of the events over to the Veterans Hall. Also, they're going to be honoring a Vietnam veteran that was killed in 1967. And I believe kickstands are up at 10 a.m. So if you want to pay your respects for that, go out to the cemetery. Also, we have the Boondockers Ball tonight. Cocktail hour starts at 5:30.
Where's that located, at the Boondocks?
Yeah, that's it. Out at the Jet Center. Not out at the Boondocks, but the Jet Center may be in the Boondocks if this weather keeps up. But anyhow, cocktail hours at 5:30. A lot of good food, dancing, costume, 1940s.
And where do they get the tickets?
Fort Jones and Tobacco and Brew.
You mean Jones's Fort?
Jones Fort. I do that all the time.
Otherwise, they have to drive all the way to Fort Jones.
No. Jones Fort.
Okay.
We got it. So, and there's going to be a lot of good prizes raffling off out there. I know we've got some guns and stuff going on out there.
Perfect.
So it'll be a great night.
Perfect. Okay. I'm trying to think. Well, what about the tea party on Monday? What do we have?
We have Congress candidates on Monday.
Congressional candidates. I was
going
to say, if we have Congress there, holy crap, we better bring our BB guns.
Oh, well, you know, the weather's kind of got me. I guess I'm not all the way with it this morning. But, yeah, that's who we have on Monday.
So we have all the congressional candidates or just some of the candidates?
You know, I don't honestly
know. Seven out of eight.
Oh, okay, cool. Very good, very good. And the Tea Party stands for Limited Government Fiscal Responsibility and Start Following the Constitution, because we haven't been doing that for quite some time. Our first quotes are, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. Mark Twain.
Wow, if it just a lot of people would listen to that little
piece. That's a good one.
Know?
We ought to just plaster that all over the halls of Congress and the Senate. And maybe the White House, you know, that would probably be good too. You know, I mean, the big sign on the White House lawn. If you tell the truth, you got nothing to hide. Our next quote is, if you tell a lie big enough and tell it frequently enough, it will be believed. Who said that?
No, I don't.
Adolf Hitler.
Kind of sounds, there's some familiarity there, you know.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
So, you can't make this stuff up.
Absolutely. So I got a couple things I want to talk about. I want to talk about silver market manipulation. It has finally come out in South Carolina that they did a study because they were trying to determine whether they should invest the treasury money in North Carolina into gold and silver and what investments. And so this comes out of, you know, they're trying to actually make gold and silver money legal with no capital gains on the sale and so forth, just like Utah has done. But what's interesting about this is a directive. It's Proviso 89.145, gold and silver investments, and this is from the Office of the State Treasurer. Now, what's so interesting about this is that while they're trying to decide whether they actually want to do this, they've exposed the market manipulators. This is getting out. It's kind of fun. Historically, this is gold and silver as an investment. Historically, investors have purchased gold as a hedge against economic, political, or a currency crisis. A decline in investment markets, a growing national debt, a weak currency, increasing inflation, and military conflicts and social unrest are the most common reasons for investing in gold. Currently, gold and silver are at historic highs, leading many expert investors to conclude that a bubble has been created in the precious metals market. Really? Okay. But since the U.S. recession has begun, I thought we were in recovery. Since the U.S. recovery has begun, the value of gold and silver has increased as investment market performs poorly. Troublesome economic news is announced, and when uncertainty in international markets intensify. Nothing like this happening right now, right?
No, nothing like that.
But it goes on to say, in other similar to other commodities, the value of gold and silver is determined by supply and demand, as well as speculation. The Federal Reserve, the London Bullion Market Association, J.P. Morgan Chase, and HSBC Holdings have practiced fractional reserve banking and engaged in naked short selling, causing artificial price suppression.
No.
So let's see. They're causing artificial price suppression, and we're in a bubble? It doesn't make any sense. But what you have to understand about that is this is starting to get out, is the fact is that This is like taking a basketball and pushing it down to the bottom of a lake. That's what these guys have been doing. And so gold is going to go higher, but silver is going to shoot up to the top of the lake and pop out of the water. I mean, this is going to be
Because we don't have the supply like we do with the gold.
Bingo. Supply and demand, and the fact that, you know, naked shorting and, you know, causing the artificial price suppression, which, by the way, is illegal. You're not supposed
to do that. Well, that all depends on who you are, right?
Yeah, I guess if you work for the bank and you go do something illegal, you know, it's fine. You just do it offshore over in London or something, and then it's okay. Unless you're John Corzine, and then, you know, when they find those extra memos that say you directed all the money to go to J.P. Morgan Chase when you said you didn't know where it went after it vanished, now it's up to $5 billion at last count.
Yeah, I was going to say, as the count gets higher and higher with the amount.
Yeah, I'm thinking remedial license plate manufacturing training is probably going to be in order here pretty soon. And it's starting to catch up with these guys. So The next article that I have here is entitled "Expanding the Debt Bubble," and the gist of the article basically is that the debt bubble, the government debt, is growing at 8%, over 8%, while the GDP is growing below 2%. So let me see, if the debt's growing, you know, 6% faster than the GDP's growing, and they're trying to grow their way out of this by expanding GDP so they can pay the debt off, which, by the way, is expanding 6% faster than the GDP is, and probably going down, which makes it mathematically impossible to pay off the debt, especially when you're borrowing the money into existence from a...
Unless you're printing it.
Yeah. it just really good. This comes from mybudge1360.com. I'm sorry, mybudget1360.com. And it talks about the global market is being held together by a veneer of massive debt duct tape. The solution for much of the European debt crisis is simply to add more debt to the current situation. So all you guys out there that think that Europe's over, nah. No, it's being held together with a veneer of massive duct tape.
And the duct tape's running out.
And the duct tape is running out. That's exactly correct. They've kicked the can down the road, and now we've run out of road.
Yep.
And so it's starting to implode. Why, they're talking about imminent foreclosures and so forth. And, you know, when you have a credit card and you run them up, and you know, then the answer is to just go get some more credit cards and keep running them up, because you'll be solvent soon, especially if you keep working hard.
Right.
boy. Now, with that, we go to Moody's made downgrade. Are we going to a break here pretty quick?
Anytime you want to, yes.
Okay. Let's go to a break, and we'll come back with Moody's downgrade, and then we'll talk to our guests.
All right, and we'll see you guys on the other side.
All right, perfect.
He's pounded down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm East Pound, just like no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, some devil mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go, and a short time to get there. I'm Eastbound, just watch your bandit run.
Talk about customer service. Well, Kathy Larson from the Bay Area found Crown Motors on the internet, and Kathy says, I couldn't find what I was looking for, so I got on the net and Crown popped up. So I called them, told them what I wanted and the price. In 20 minutes, they had the car, and it was delivered to my house that evening. I'm very pleased, and so are we, Kathy. And remember, as dealers, we all pay the same for these vehicles. The difference is what we sell them. And check us out online at crownmotorsreading.com.
There's new coffee in the store at Tobacco and Brew. Full beans by the pound. Portland blend. A rich flavor with a moderate body. And how about a favorite? Italian rose. Dark flavor with an enticing aroma. Try the coffee special of the month. Cookies and cream. A blended 20-ounce drink for just $3. Can you imagine a blended 20-ounce drink for just $3? What else, Carl?
Tobacco and Brew has the finest walk-in humidor in the state. Walk in and find any cigar that you could possibly want at great prices. Also, veterans get discounts at Tobacco and Brew.
And don't forget, Tobacco and Brew is closing out on their T-shirts and leather jackets at huge savings. Our favorite place to go, Tobacco and Brew, for all your coffee and specialty needs. 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew.
I'm Chuck Kinney. For 15 years, Shasta Gas Propane has been here for you. Owned and operated by my wife Judy and I, we're a family company. We sell propane, and the thing is, we're local and not a big chain. We aren't the biggest, and we'll never claim to be. So what we promise is to give you the best customer service we can. Because when all is said and done, we know that's what separates us from the competition. Shasta Gas Propane. Safety, service, and savings. Give us a call at 365-3793.
As hard as it may be to believe, every 90 seconds in this country, a woman is raped.
On Saturday, April 7th, 10 a.m. at the north end of Market Street Promenade, real men in Shasta County will step into the shoes of women everywhere and walk a mile to bring awareness to all victims of sexual assault and domestic violence. Are you man enough to walk that mile? Please call 244-0118, extension 202, or go online at ShastaWomensRefuge.org. Take a stand against domestic violence and sexual assault, April 7th at the Market Street Promenade. Women everywhere will thank you.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460 KCNR, home of Free Fire Media. Let's see. We were talking about Moody's downgrading 17 banks and security firms. Moody's warned on Thursday it may cut credit ratings of 17 global and 114 European financial institutions, and another sign that the impact of the Eurozone government debt crisis is spreading throughout the global financial system. This actually comes from CNBC.com.
Wow, that's amazing.
So maybe they're not being able to cover this up too much longer. I'm thinking the proverbial poop is starting to hit the fan in Europe and on its way here. So
I think with that, we might have our guest on the line.
Do we have our guest on the line?
Our guest is on the line.
Oh, very good. Are you there, Mike?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Very good. Very good. Well, I guess where should we get started? We've got ForgeryGate going on here, the mainstream media blackout. We've got numerous states trying to get the eligibility off the ballot. A criminal investigation going on. There's just too many things to talk about here, Mike. Where should we start?
I don't even know where the beginning is.
How about you to give us a little bit of background about yourself? Let's start there.
I was going to say Kenya, but Ollie, though.
I am a former police detective out of New Jersey. I was a private investigator for a number of years in New Jersey. Came out to Arizona in 93 on a business venture. Lived here ever since. In 2005, after about 7 years of prodding, they finally got me to join up with the sheriff's posse, which was an unusual concept to me. About 2005, I did that. 2006, I was asked to take the position of commander over the sheriff's newly formed cold case posse, which is a posse of former law enforcement officers, attorneys, or people with specialty backgrounds that answer directly to him and conduct investigations on his behalf under his authority, and I've been there ever since.
Now, are you getting paid to do this investigation, Mike?
No, we do not get paid. We are a 501(c) corporation. We can accept donations, but they can only go towards, those funds can only be used in the course of the investigation. We are not permitted to receive personal compensation. All our time is voluntary and volunteer, so to say. The Maricopa County Sheriff and the community.
Okay, very good. How about now bring us forward to exactly what you guys are working on at this point with the investigation?
Well, after the press conference that we had, we still continue to work on the long-form birth certificate. I am a firm believer in cooperation and making sure that we cover all our bases. We are attacking now that document in a fashion that we really didn't do it before. When we were first commissioned to do this by Sheriff Ohio, we took the position of wanting to validate the document. As a matter of fact, Sheriff Ohio wanted us to validate the document. He wanted this issue to really be put to bed for the interest of the nation so the nation could move forward. That was the tact we took. Early on into our investigation, it became extremely evident that we were not going to be able to do that. Any good investigator will tell you, you know, the role of the investigator is to gather the facts and go outside of your area of expertise and seek other individuals that have expertise in certain disciplines. And we did that. And in the course of doing that, the evidence in this case took us to the place where we are right now. The document, in our opinion and in the opinion of our experts, is indeed a forgery, and that is a tremendous, tremendous hurdle for anyone to overcome. But we believe we have it sewn up.
You there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought we lost you for a second. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, and that was issued from the White House, as well as you have a Selective Service card that evidently seems to be a forgery as well. I mean, where did you get the Selective Service document?
Well, as we were conducting the investigation, what's really become a unique situation here is you have a phenomenal network now of individuals, if you will, the citizenry working alongside with law enforcement. And it's really rather unique because usually, you know, the population doesn't really want to, in general, work with law enforcement. they have been supplying us information along the way. We've gotten a couple of requests to look into the Selective Service Card. The Selective Service Card came to our attention via a reporter, Linda Bentley, an investigative journalist from the Wall newspaper here in Arizona, and through a couple other sources.
Interesting.
The individuals, I would say about 2 years prior to our investigations, actually went out and put FOIA requests to see Barack Obama's Selective Service Card. FOIA request is a request made under Freedom of Information Act. They were sent copies of his Selective Service Card from Selective Service. What kind of raised some eyebrows was the stamp, the date stamp on the lower right corner, indicating that the post office had received it. And if you go back to Selective Service in 1980, I believe it was under Jimmy Carter, I had a register for Selective Service myself, and the way the law was written, you were required between the ages of 18 and 26 to go to a post office and present yourself. In other words, you go there, you fill out a card, you sign that card, you present your identification, they accept it, they stamp it received, and off you go. And weeks later, you'll finally receive a document back from Selective Service indicating that they have it, and you're issued a Selective Service number that you have to retain with you for life. The situation arose, though, in Obama's, the date stamp, I believe it's July 29th, should have said 1980. His date stamp says July 29th, and then it just says 80. Doesn't say 1980. Doing research into that matter, we've learned under post office protocols, their procedures under the DOD as mandated, all date stamps with a year designator have to be a four-digit number. In other words, a 1980, or in the case of today, it would have been 2012. That does not change. So that became an interesting point.
Interesting.
At that point in time, another FOIA request was made. This time, Linda Bentley actually requested, and it was brilliant on her part. Linda Bentley actually requested I think it was 16 other Selective Service Cards that she determined through death record index that these people had passed away, so there was no more privacy issues. And she received these other Selective Service Cards, two of which I believe were right out of the same post office as Obama's within a day or so of his presenting supposedly himself to be registered for Selective Service. Every one of those other cards all contain the four-digit year-date indicator, 1980. Obama's is the only one that doesn't. So now you run into the speculation of, okay, well, maybe they just didn't ink this thing right. Maybe, they cocked it a little bit when they were applying it. So through our investigation, we were able to secure the exact date stamp equipment and the date stamp inserts that would have been used at the time. Only problem was that you couldn't find a 1980 40 pica date stamp to be inserted into the date stamp handle itself. So we were looking at that and saying, okay, what would happen if they were not permitted to find a 1980 date stamp, but they had to make a 1980 date? How would they do it? And we came to the conclusion that what they actually did is they took a date stamp of 2008, severed it in the middle of the two zeros, which would have left you with a 08, inverted it or turned it upside down, loaded it into the handle, and stamped this document.
Wow.
This document we don't believe was stamped in 1980.
And we're not sure who they is either.
We don't know who they is.
Interesting.
But we know someone did it.
Right, right. Listen, we got to go to a break, Mike. We'll be right back. Hold that thought, because I want to ask you about the Social Security number and the refusal of the Selective Service to produce the original records here. But we'll be right back after this break in a minute. KCNR 1460. Thanks, Mike.
I'm Patrick Henry Jones, running for Supervisor District 3. Proven leadership for Shasta County. I am committed to actively protecting our renewable resources, mining, agriculture, logging, and ranching. It's time the county starts working for the people, not against. It's time for a change. Vote for me, Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 3, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 3, 2012.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
Wake up, America. You're too young to die.
Join us this Sunday, April 1st, as We the People welcomes Michael Shaw, president of Freedom Advocates. Michael will tell us how the worldwide Agenda 21 Sustainable Development Program is being implemented on the local level in order to establish a collectivist world government. That's We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Tough times don't have to mean bad times for those who choose to meet the challenges of today's business climate. Every Friday morning on KCNR 1460, we salute the spirit of innovation, discuss new ways of thinking, and celebrate success on Shasta Startup. Join us from 9 to 10 a.m. this Friday to hear how local established businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders are stepping up to get the job done. Brought to you by S.J. Denham Motors Chrysler Jeep. Shasta Startup, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Oh, beautiful, far spacious skies. Now the skies are threatening. The beating flashes in the swords for this title man that we elected again. Armchair warriors are unveiling, been poisoned by these fairy tales.
That's a pretty good prophet song there. I'll tell you what, Don Henley on that one, man. Well, we're back. Are you there, Mike?
Yes, I am.
Very good. And I just want to say while I'm thinking about it, because this program moves so fast, that we really appreciate you guys coming on and letting us try to get the word out on this thing that the mainstream media is completely ignoring and blacking out. So anyway, let's talk about the Selective Service. I mean, I know that the sheriff and you guys have put in a request for the original documents, and they've refused, and I know that he's put in another request. If they refuse the documents to be released, what do you do?
Well, at that time, we believe we would have some standing under statute that once a FOIA request is made and then it is granted, that there is an obligation to present the original document for inspection. And we'll have to cross that bridge, when we come to it. Right now, the second request that Sheriff Opio put in is very straightforward. He is asking if they are indeed in possession of the original card, and if so, we would like to see it. We'll wait for their response.
Absolutely.
Typical stonewalling. It wasn't a shock to us. The only thing that was shocking to us, it came faster than we expected. We thought they would wait for 30 days, and they didn't.
Wow. I think they must be sweating in the White House over this. This is a big problem, I think, If this gets out in its entirety before the election, I think that there's going to be some real real problems for them.
Well, there's going to be a lot of people involved in this. This isn't just like a one-man operation.
Yeah, there's some problems here. I wanted to talk about his Social Security. We keep getting this information that his Social Security is not valid, and it's from somebody in Connecticut born in 1890. Can you, tell us the truth? Is that real? How is that working?
Well, his Social Security number is a little bit of a problem for us to investigate on a computerized level. The government has flagged his Social Security number. In other words, they are alerted every time it is run, and they also block information from coming forward. So it becomes a little bit of a problem, and we'll have to work around that going forward. However, the gentleman born in the 1890s, I have not had the opportunity to verify that to any great detail. As a matter of fact, I don't know if that actually is true or not.
Yeah, that's kind of why I was bringing it up, because I couldn't get that actually verified to the point where I felt comfortable, saying it was the truth.
Right, and I agree with you. I mean, we don't know it. But what is really problematic is the fact that I believe he would have been around 16 years of age or so when he applied for this Social Security number. I believe it was issued around 1977, something to that effect. And law then is if you were over the age of 12, you had to physically go down to the Social Security office and present yourself with documentation of who you were to get documents. I don't know how that could have happened.
Hmm.
If he were in Hawaii going to high school and playing on the basketball team, how did he go, 3,500 miles away to Connecticut to
get a Social Security number and come back?
Yeah. How'd you do that?
Yeah,
and
make the 5 o'clock game while you're at it.
I don't know how you accomplished that.
Well, isn't it true?
No,
I was going to say, isn't it true that his grandmother worked in the Social Security office? I don't know if that's true or not.
We have had information saying that she worked in that line in government over there and that she would have been privy to individuals with deceased numbers. But you know what? That's a lot of speculation and conjecture. We're not sure. And it's not something that I really could speak to any great detail about, because we've decided to look at something that we believe is on the level of concrete best evidence, a birth certificate and the Selective Service Card.
I see.
The Selective Service Card carries with it criminal penalties that really, are tied directly to the name on the card.
Right.
The birth certificate, you have some plausible deniability there, and there's probably some wiggle room. You can make up a lot of nice excuses. However, that Selective Service Card, I think, is a bigger problem.
Interesting. We got somebody on the chat room, Angel. She was asking a question. What was it? It was is about the media. Isn't this kind of an indictment of the media as well, that they're not covering this? I mean, isn't there something that we can do? I mean, I'm not really big on the national media anyway. I mean, it's the liars that be kind of thing, if you ask me. But, I mean, how do we get this out there to where, enough people see that this is a problem here?
Well, let's break that down to two parts. On the national media level, I think it's a criminal offense that they are not covering this and alerting the American people. I think it's done by design, and I think it's having to do by pressure being applied to them. We have received information of threats to certain media organizations. We have documentation that certain events have taken place all within hours of each other in different venues, in other words, radio and television, to silence this issue. Going forward, you have one of the biggest names in media like Fox just absolutely refusing to cover anything on this topic. That's scary.
Yes.
And that is something that every American should be very concerned about, because what could happen here is Barack Obama could lose the next election, and I guess we'll all just chalk it off to a really weird time in our history, but the national media is going to go on.
Right.
And if the national media doesn't have the fortitude to bring forth issues like this, we will never know the truth on any level.
Yeah, and on this issue, it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian, Purple Party. It doesn't matter. This should be headline news because of the issues and the magnitude of it, no question.
And I agree. And there's something so unique about the people of this country. We can fight, we can argue, we can come from different sides of the aisle. But when there's something that affects us all, we always join together as Americans. And it should be Republican, Democrat, Independent. Everybody should be shouting, why aren't you covering it? Even if the Maricopa County Sheriff was wrong, you should still cover it.
They should be tearing him up if he's wrong. In other words, they should have evidence presenting to the contrary here somewhere.
Well, you would think they would already be doing that if that was the case.
Right.
I agree with you. You would think that. In our press conference, nobody from the media tried to challenge our findings. And our findings were superficial as far as the depth of what we've actually have accomplished. We were trying to reduce this to a place where everybody could understand it, young and old. Everybody knows you shouldn't be able to do this. No one has attacked the findings. No one has attacked the evidence we presented. As a matter of fact, one of the people in the media asking a question even acknowledged the transparency, the level of transparency that the sheriff put forth in this. And that's what he wanted to do. He didn't believe that this should be an investigation like other investigations where you hold everything close to the vest and the only time it gets revealed is in court. He believes this is a national issue. I'm still saying it right now, and I told this to him when we discovered it was a forgery. At some point, I believe Sheriff Arpaio is going to become America's sheriff.
Yeah, I agree.
It's about the nation. It's not about politics for him. It's the rule of law. That's what the man lives for. He's been a police officer for 51 years. He worked for the federal government for almost 30 years. He worked for the very agencies that are trying to pursue him now. He's about the rule of law.
You know,
anybody that wants to tell you this is politically motivated is incorrect.
You know, it's ironic as, you know, being interviewed by Russian media to talk about this document fraud. You know, how bad is that? I mean, we're going to Pravda or wherever to, you know, if it wasn't for the World Wide Web here, these guys would probably have shut this off completely.
Well, and I tell you, my hat's off to Pravda because they really got it right. They really got it right. They called it like it was. And if it wasn't for the World Wide Web, the design here was to have this press conference be born and die in 24 hours in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, they can't shut us down yet. We've got too many ways to communicate right now, and we need to use it to our advantage to get the truth out there.
Yeah.
It's imperative. I think the balance of our country, I think our country hangs in the balance. If this information is suppressed, stifled, censored, this stuff is going to go on and get worse.
It's only a matter of time till we actually have, Hugo Chavez or somebody stepping into the batter's box, because if they can control the media this bad by coercion, threatening, whatever it is, then we don't have a watchdog anymore. And and who knows what they're doing behind the scenes and getting away with. I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg, I think.
Well, I can't disclose to you what it's going to be, but buckle your seats for next week, because there's been information now obtained through this investigation that's going to be revealed next week, and it's going to be frightening. It's going to correlate well with the point you just made.
So we need to buckle up, Spanky, huh?
You need to buckle up on this one.
All right.
This is why I made the comment I did earlier. This is a unique situation how law enforcement and the citizenry are working hand in hand. We could get so much accomplished if everything going forward would work like this.
You guys need to make sure you're protected. I mean, I don't know what happened with Breitbart, but, I hope you guys are packing heat and in safe places and got your information spread around.
I thank God every day I live in a state where the Second Amendment is alive and well.
Yeah, this is getting a little crazy even. Hey, I think we're ready to go to a break here. So just hang on, Mike. We'll be right back, and we'll continue our quest for the truth here.
And this is the home of KCNR 1460.
Every generation blames the one before, and all of their frustration come beating on your door. I know that I'm a prisoner to all my father held so dear. I
wish I could have told him in the living years.
Mark your calendar. You don't want to miss the 2012 Boondocker Ball to benefit the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. March 31st, join your friends for a 1940s USO-style event at the Reading Jet Center at Municipal Airport with social hour at 5:30 and dinner starting at 6:30 p.m. Music provided by the Straight Ahead Big Band. Tickets are on sale now at Jones Ford on East Cypress and Tobacco and Brew on Hilltop. You can also call 378-2280. More information at NorCalVeteransMuseum.org.
I'm Dennis Patterson with West Coast Sustainables, or a solar power company here in Redding. And I'd followed Free Fire Radio when they were on another station, and they discontinued it. It took me a couple of months to find out where Carl and Linda were. That was a little over 2 years ago, and I got involved supporting the station with advertising. Not so much that I expected to get a bunch of business out of it, but I really supported what the station was doing as a community station and what they believed in, not just politically, but faith and morals and all those kind of things. Surprise, surprise, after 2 years, we have been very successful at business being created by the station, and we continue now as one of our major advertising points because it works, and we're really happy with that. Again, I'm Dennis Patterson, West Coast Sustainables, Dennis@solarpowerissmart.com.
WE Multimedia Theatre Group cordially invites you to what will no doubt be the wedding event of this social season. Who are we kidding? The bride's a total and the bridesmaids would rather be anywhere else than this hilarious adult comedy, Five Women Wearing the Same Dress. Five Women Wearing the Same Dress on stage at the Old City Hall Performance Center, March 30th through April 7th. Proceeds benefit the Shasta County Arts Council. Tickets available at the Enjoy Store or online at WEMultimedia.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
It's the way I feel. When it's real, I keep it alive. The road is long. There are mountains in our way. But we climb the stairs every day. The lift is up where we belong, where the eagles cry on the mountain high. The lift is up where we belong, up from the world below.
Sovereign Mind Radio. We're back, 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire. And we're talking to Mike Zulo. Sorry about that, Mike. Chief Investigator for Sheriff Opio's Cold Case Posse. And we're so excited we can't even say your name right.
Well, that's okay. I lived with that a long time.
So where were we? I mean, there's so much to talk about here. There's so much information. There's so much to get out there. I don't even know. I mean, I'm almost beside myself here in the studio trying to figure out how to ask an intelligent question at this point.
Well, it's kind of hard to ask an intelligent question because your intelligence is being insulted.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. We've got, you know, this media blackout. We've got the biggest thing since Watergate, probably bigger. Well, not probably. It's like since the Civil War or something.
Yeah, totally changed history in the makings.
Yeah, I mean, this could negate everything he signed, every treaty made. You know, it's just the ramifications are absolutely staggering, and we can't even get anybody to report the darn thing.
And, you know, like we were saying earlier, that is really frightening.
Yes.
Because in today's society, with the 24-hour news cycle and the Internet, if media doesn't cover it, it never happens.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It is scary.
That's very scary.
And you know they know about it. You know this has to, I mean, they got to be following this at all levels. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, last week it was the fifth hottest thing on the internet in climbing and worldwide. And it's like, really, you know, so we've got someone on the line here, Mike, Angel, Ruth Angel's on the line. And so I think she has a question for you. Are you there, Ruth?
I am. Thank
you. Good morning,
Ruth. Thank you, Mark. An hour is just not long enough to cover this issue. And good morning. And I really thank the guest and all of his partners for the work they've done on this as a nonprofit. I have two questions for you. Where do we go and what do we listen to hear the big news next week? And also, why can't we get a congressional hearing or a possible court case where the evidence is presented to the court and have an action there where they have to provide the evidence to show that that their documents are actually real. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thanks, Ruth.
Let's start with the news releases. When the sheriff really realized that there was not going to be any mainstream media coverage, Dr. Corsi, who was affiliated with WND right now has basically become our media partner, if you will, in releasing just about everything that we request to be released. That's the place right out of the gate that people may want to, you know, subscribe to get the latest that we're doing. We're forced to do it that way because there is no mainstream media coverage. So we're not set up. We're not set up to be a big internet player. We don't know how to do that. They do, and that's where, you know, you could tune in. You can get email alerts, I believe, from WND, World Net Daily, and it'll start that way. A lot of times the Drudge Report picks it up. But for everything that this investigation deems the American people need to know about, the sheriff deems he wants to release it, it's probably going to come first through WND.
Yeah, that's where I've been getting most
of
my
stuff. Yeah.
And also the Bertha Report seems to be all over this. And then Obama Crimes.
ObamaCrimes.com
is another one. Yeah, so it's starting to get across the web because people, like you say, they're starting to come together on this because the people who want the rule of law, a lot of people don't understand that this directly chips away at the foundation of the rule of law, because if he is not eligible according to constitutional vetting, then what happens is you're basically just throwing the Constitution in the garbage, because if you don't have to follow any of the rules, and he seems to think he's above the rules in a lot of cases here, that's a real problem.
Well, it absolutely is, and you start to have to really ask yourself, what makes him think this? Why does he think he can do the things he's doing? And I think that in the months to come, the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office might be in a position to answer that very question.
Wow.
I can't elaborate on that any further. But
boy, you've really...
We understand that, but we definitely got to have you back in the near future to go over more of this when it becomes available to us.
I don't care if we have to drive to Arizona to interview you.
It's nice over here. You might want to do that.
Yeah, well, it's not so nice here right now.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we got people talking about Fox here, and I mean, I've been saying this for months, that Fox is becoming the executive branch arm of the news. I mean, it's just getting to a point of absolute ridiculousness that, I mean, this guy could, you know, start a war, you know, without congressional approval. I mean, it's just one thing after another with this guy, and he gets a pass on everything.
I know, and you know, Fox, to really be candid with you, it's breaking my heart. You know, Fox, I tuned in from their very first broadcast, and I watched a change in Fox over the last 2.5, you know, years. I watched it change, and you know, it's disheartening because you're literally forced. You know, they were trying to pass that, that legislation that required fair and equal time. Well, they can't get that passed, but I think what they've accomplished is being able to silence an organization to an extent like Fox. Therefore, it forces you now to hunt around for bits and pieces of information to verify or to put the picture together. And that puts you right in the same arena. Now you have to go and listen to this guy over here, that guy over here, this guy over here.
to get the whole story.
Yeah, it makes it very hard for a lot of the people to know where to go to get the truth now that that has happened with our media.
Well, and disinformation is just as powerful as information in a lot of ways.
True.
And, I mean, if you're getting disinformation on a constant basis or lack of information, you don't know who to believe or what to believe anymore. That's why we got the half the country so screwed up.
You don't. And what's really sad is we are all, myself included, getting into a situation where we think we understand a complete issue in a 30-second news bite.
Right.
It just doesn't happen.
Right. And that just doesn't happen. And we're being trained just to listen to what the propaganda is, think we understand the issue because somebody may make an argument or a point that sounds good, but it's taken out of context. And the public, what we're losing is our ability for critical thinking.
Yeah, to tell what the truth is, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what? Unfortunately, you have to work at the truth.
Yep.
And you can go right back to the beginning of time. You can go back to the Garden of Eden. You know, if you look at that, it was the serpent that cast the first doubt. Doubt is the culprit. If we can get you to doubt something, well, then maybe it's not true. That's what's happening in our legal system. What's happening in courtrooms. You know, the Constitution says that one of your rights is to have a fair trial and have an adequate defense. But it doesn't say that one of your rights is to fabricate a defense.
Right.
And that's what's happening in every courtroom now. The oaths don't mean anything.
Yeah, you just have to buy the big, you just have to put the most money out for the professional that shores up your case to say that it's sophistry. I mean, the definition of sophistry is to make an argument on something that's completely frivolous and make it sound like the truth so it's believable.
Well, exactly. That's exactly what happens. I mean, and you've hit that right on the head. And what's hurting it even worse, especially in a lot of the situations now, everybody watches television. They think a show like CSI is the way it really runs, and that's what they're all waiting for. Show me the forensic evidence that the guy was there.
Wow.
You don't always have that. But that doesn't mean he didn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is common sense at some point here that should be kicking in. We're running out of time. We have about a minute and a half left. So anything you can add here before we have to sign off? I got a couple things I got to cover before we go, but... if you got anything that we need to hear, by all means, go for it, Mike.
Well, we're talking to Sheriff Arpaio now. I'm requesting that perhaps we give a second press conference around the birth certificate. We have this document taken apart, and I'm talking to him now. I don't know whether he's going to be agreeable to it or not. But we think we could demonstrate it now on a deeper level now that it's been out there. People are understanding how we did it and our methodology. Again, I don't know if he's going to be agreeable to that, but I did make that request for him.
Well, I'm sorry,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, they're going to cut us off, Mike. We want to thank you so much for coming on, and we look forward to having you back and going over this topic.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Very
Thank
good.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank
well,
you.
We'll talk to you soon, Mike. Listen,
right.
I got a couple
Take
things
care.
To cover here. The last thing is I got a quote. I'm not upset that you lied to me. I'm upset that from now on I can't believe you. That's Friedrich Nietzsche. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It's force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and fearful master. This is Sovereign Mind Radio.
KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
And I guess we'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody. Try to be careful out there in this weather.
Very good.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Linda. This is Casey and R. Shasta Redding. Stay tuned after the news. The Kurt Largent Real Estate Show is up next.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pam Puso. The excitement is building in the small town of Red Bud, Illinois. That's where one of the winning Mega Millions tickets was sold.
My ideal thing would be to ask that regular customer that comes in for a cup of coffee every single day. So that's what I'd like to see.
Denise Metzger works at a Moto Mart in town. The jackpot, $640 million. The two other winning tickets sold in Maryland and Kansas. Overall, Americans spent more than $1 billion for a chance to win.
It's unrestricted local aid that we give to the state, and the state gives back to the cities and towns. They can use it for schools,
They can use it for police. They can use it for fire. They can use it for roads.
Paul Sternberg with the Massachusetts Lottery Commission. Protesters and civil rights leaders marching in the Florida town where 17-year-old Trayvon Martin was shot and killed by a neighborhood watch volunteer. Since the shooting more than a month ago, the small community of Sanford has been placed under a microscope.
That's all people are talking about.
It's kind of an embarrassment.
It shouldn't reflect Sanford. It could have happened anywhere.